Take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 12, where I'm going to give you a couple of verses to hang over everything that we and you hear in the next few moments. And I recognize that we're already at a quarter to 11, so I'm going to ask your permission to allow me and allow the Sunday school teachers to use all the material that they have prepared. By the way, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? So Romans chapter 12, reading verses 9 through 21. Hear the words of God. These are the most important words you're going to hear from me today. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Now listen to this. Verse 16 is a powerful verse of God's will for us in all things and at all times. Live in harmony with one another. How are you doing with that? Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Now, verse 18. This is where Paul the realist comes in, and he says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So these two verses that you need to hang on to this morning, verse 16, live in harmony with one another, and verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I'm supposed to be talking to you about conflict this morning, and the principles that I'm going to be sharing with you, although I'm going to basically be talking about husband and wife conflict, the principles that I'm going to be sharing with you apply universally to anyone who is in conflict, whether you are in conflict with your kids or with your neighbor or with your co-workers or whosoever. These principles hold true. But I'm going to be talking mostly between man and woman, following up what Rob talked about last week in regards to the covenant relationship that we have within marriage. And let me say, first of all, that if you are in any form of conflict, there is hope for you. There is hope for you. God is a God of fresh starts and new beginnings. And I want you to remember that as well. If you take a look at some of the individuals within the Old Testament, they messed up royally. But God used them beautifully. So if you find yourself in an area of conflict this morning and you say there's no hope for you or for me, that is one of Satan's lies. God wants us to live an abundant, fruitful, joyful life. Now that doesn't mean that you get away with the consequences of that conflict that you found yourself in. We need to live with those issues, and we need to work those issues through. And when we've done that, God gives us a fresh start and a new beginning to get on with life, and He, through the power of the Holy Spirit within us, begins and continues to transform us into the people that He would have us to be. In a perfect world, there would be no conflict, but we don't live in a perfect world, and we don't have a perfect marriage. Anybody have a perfect marriage? What, are you single? I feel very fortunate because Lynn and I have been married almost 47 years. And in those 47 years, I think maybe we've had two or three big blowouts. That's it. I learned long ago. We're going to leave it at that. But over these last couple of weeks, a month or so, we have been in conflict at our house. Let me show you the reason for that conflict. Let me introduce you to the new member of our family. Yeah, isn't she cute? That little monster. That's our Sadie girl, and she's a little, I guess she's a little over 3 months old now. Let me illustrate what I mean by that. Could I have the next slide, please, Henry? Here I am, and I have a goal. And the goal is obedience from this little character, and most important, potty training. We're almost there. Almost there. Every now and then she still has an accident, and yesterday was not a good day. I think Satan was tempting me to lose my patience. But anyways, that's my goal. Obedience and potty training. And Lynn and I are working together at that, and it's a direct route from where we are to the goal. Let me show you Sadie's. There she is. There's no such thing as a direct route. And her goal is fun and chewing. And she, every one of those loops, by the way, is either a pee stop or a poo stop. Okay? So you can see this is a recipe for conflict. A recipe for conflict. Working in two different ways to two different goals with nothing but my desire to hold it all together. Conflict. And really, that's not too far off when marriages get into conflict. Let's first take a look at conflict within the family where there is no unifying factor. Here we have the fellow who is in disagreement with his spouse, also in disagreement, and they have two different goals. They don't have the same goal. They're not working towards the same goal, and because of that, conflict arises. Now, let me tell you one thing here. Just because a person is in disagreement with another person, that doesn't mean that they are in conflict. That does not mean that they are in a conflict situation. It's only when that disagreement escalates to the point that they're not listening and communicating with one another, that's when conflict begins. And Rob reminded us last week that within the Christian marriage, the goal should be to glorify God and express the love that He has for us through marriage. If that is missing, we got a problem from the get-go. We got a problem from the get-go. Disagreements arise. Raising kids. How are we going to do it? Finances. Leisure time. How are we going to spend it? Communication. Are you listening to what I am saying? That happened to me just yesterday. I was watching the baseball game, and weren't the Jays pathetic? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But weren't the Raptors great? Yeah. Anyways, I was watching the ball game yesterday, sitting in front of the TV watching the ball game, and Lynn said something to me, and I said, are you talking to me? You've had that happen, right, husbands? I'm not the only one, right? Say amen.
Amen.
Right on. Life is not perfect. And we need to listen and communicate with one another. And when these issues arise, we've got to put everything else aside and concentrate on that goal that we have set together. Now, each person can have individual goals. I have individual goals that do not align with Lynn's individual goals. And that's fine. But when it comes to our marriage and when it comes to our family, those individual goals need to take second place to the primary goal of glorifying God and showing His love to others. Otherwise, we go in different directions. And when we start going in different directions, we start building a wall between one another. And that can happen between a man and his wife, or a wife and her husband. And that can happen between board members. That can happen between neighbors. That can happen between co-workers. And it just escalates to the point where that wall is up to here, and we don't even listen or hear or want anything to do with that other individual. I ask you, is that the Christian response? No, it's not. We are to live in harmony with one another. And as far as it depends on us, we are to be at peace with the people we like. Right? No. With everyone. That is hard, hard to do. It can only happen when the Holy Spirit takes up residence within our heart and life and we allow Him to have preeminence in everything that we do. And in all that we are, and all the goals that we set. And how many marriages have ended in disaster? And I guess statistics tell us that there really is no difference this day and age between Christian marriage and non-Christian marriage when it comes to divorce. About 50% of marriages end in divorce these days. That should surprise us. That should shock us. Because when Satan attacks a society, he always begins with the family unit. And when the family unit is disrupted, we are in big, big trouble. Now, within a husband and wife relationship, and by the way, I should say that when we're talking about this, that God's goal when there is conflict is always reconciliation. Always reconciliation. That is the goal that God has for us within our relationships with one another. Reconciliation. One of the hardest things I ever had to do as a pastor was to forgive a member of my board who was out to hang me by my throat. Hardest thing to do. Caused me tremendous amount of grief and pain and spiritual anxiety and agony. And yet I knew that as a believer, and he is a believer, someday we would be in heaven together. So why not settle the issue now? And I can tell you now, and I say it humbly, that if he and I die at the same moment and end up at the pearly gates, we're going to walk in together. Hand in hand. Because although our situation was one of disagreement and tremendous conflict, he's still a brother in Christ. And that takes precedence and priority over everything. Because Christ has forgiven us. And he's forgiven those who are in opposition to us. And we need to work that out in the here and now. Because that's God's will for us. Live in harmony with one another. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Now, when there's conflict and disagreement arising within a marital relationship, and it ends in divorce, you hear it expressed in various ways and forms. He or she doesn't love me anymore. I was sitting with a couple many years ago. He had had an affair. And we were sitting together at in their living room together. And he said to me, "I do not love her anymore." But I'll tell you one thing. It was good news there. Christ was involved. And he gave his heart and his life to Christ. Not because of what I did, because I sent him to see someone else who I knew would get to him. And he gave his heart and his life to Christ, and they're still together today enjoying life. There is hope. There is hope when we give ourselves in full submission to Christ and allow him to do his work in and through us. God is never finished with us. I don't love her or him anymore. How often have I heard this? We were too young when we were married. Or the most one that I heard probably more than anything else, we grew apart. Is it any wonder you grow apart when you build a wall between one another? We had no longer have anything in common. We argue all the time. All these are indications of the fact that these individuals, whether it be man or wife, or whether it be co-worker or friend or whatever, is there's a wall there. There's a wall there. And that wall needs to be broken down before anything else can happen. I love the illustration from Scripture when Jesus Christ was crucified. The curtain between the Holy of Holies and the regular part of the temple was torn in two. That wall was torn in two from top to bottom. Not from the bottom up. We had nothing to do with it, but God in His power and His glory, He took a hold of that wall and He ripped it apart from top to bottom so that we have complete accessibility into the grace, the mercy, the love, the forgiveness of God, and it's only He that can do that and forgive us and reconcile us to one another in Christ. Live in harmony with one another. Be at peace with everyone as long as it depends on you. The trouble is, we in our sinfulness, our self-righteousness, and our egos get in the way. And when that gets in the way of us and Christ, we block the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Let's take a look at Christian marriage. Next slide. Here we are. There's Mr. A and Mrs. B. They are in disagreement as well. But they have a common goal. A goal that they want to share. And so they're prepared to listen to one another. Because they're working towards the same goal. Some of you may know that I belong to an old geezers club. And that old geezers club has to do with antique outboard motors. And our goal is the restoration and preservation of old antique motors, outboard motors. I belonged to that club probably for close to 20 years, I think. Why? I'll tell you why. Because I want to have an impact with non-believers, but I also want to have an example of what the church should be like. Yeah. See, there's the common goal that we have of preservation and restoration of old antique motors. By the way, my earliest one was 1914. Then I had one from 1916. I sold them both to get some money for my car. But anyways, that being aside, everything in that club is geared towards the preservation and restoration of vintage outboard motors. What would it be like? What would it be like If we within the church had a common goal, and one single goal of bringing others to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and nothing else mattered, would that not unify us to the point of us being dangerous within the community, dangerous within our neighborhood? So focused on living for Jesus, so focused on bringing others to know Him, that nothing else mattered. That excites me. And yet we within the church give that a hearing, and we say that's what it's all about, and yet at times that does not become and is our priority. Something to think about. Anyways, within the Christian marriage, we have a unifying factor, and that's the cross. Jesus Christ indwells us. I was listening to Charles Stanley this morning while Lynn was upstairs getting ready for church, and he was talking about the power of the indwelt Spirit within us that seals us and empowers us and enables us to live a victorious Christian life. You see, the Spirit that is within you as a believer, and the Spirit that is within the individual who you disagree with, is exactly the same Spirit. And He is working towards the same goal, that of transforming us into the image of Christ. The same Spirit. But there's the rub in that as well. It's the same Spirit between the men and the women. But we all know that we're different. I was so glad to hear that the men are going to go out and throw axes. Women aren't into throwing axes. At least not any I want to know. And you know what? Men are not, and I give you permission, men are not into coffee, conversation, and crumpets. They're not into that. You ask me to go for coffee, conversation, and crumpets, and I'll go, what? What? And yet women love that. They love tea parties. And women, if you want to have tea parties, more power to you, if that's going to bring you into fellowship. But don't ask me to come. You know what I'm saying? There's the rub. And within a successful marriage, within a covenant relationship within marriage, we've got to allow one another to be who we are. We've got to allow one another to be who we are. Men are men. And women are women. And that's the way God designed it. And it bothers me to no end when on TV some of these commercials, men are always depicted as idiots. Are you aware of that? Have you noticed that? We're not idiots. We just don't know any better. That was good. I like that. Anyways, within a covenant relationship, the unifying factor is the Spirit. God's Holy Spirit that indwells us. And you know what? The issues are the same. The issues are the same between, quite often are the same between a Christian marriage and a non-Christian marriage. They're the same. But the difference is we have God's Spirit to lead us and to guide us and direct us. And Scripture says that when we listen to one another, we listen to one another, we discern the mind of Christ. And isn't that what it's all about? Listening to what Jesus has to say to us as husband and wife, as co-workers, as neighbors, live in harmony with one another. As far as it depends on you, be at peace. I don't know where we would have been, Lynn and I, had we not had the Spirit of God as a unifying factor within our life. And you notice the way that triangle works, too? If you took that triangle the other way, it looks like this. And the closer Lynn draws to Jesus, the closer I draw to Jesus, the closer we draw to one another. That's the way it is. Is a Christian marriage always perfect? Nope. If it was, I don't know what planet you'd be living on. But let me give you some scriptures which enable us to focus in a little bit on this. Ephesians 5:21. Now, Ephesians 5 is that very difficult section of Scripture where wives are called to submit to their husband in all things. But I believe that that is divided, that passage of Scripture is divided in the wrong spot. It should begin with verse 21 and then go on. Verse 5:21 says, submit to one another. Submit to one another. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, submit to your wives as Christ submitted to the work of the church. And what did Christ do for the church? He gave His life for the church. He responded in love for the church. So although it doesn't say exactly that husbands need to submit to their wives, take a look at what Christ did. He submitted. He gave His life for the church. So husbands, submit to your wives out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands out of reverence for Christ. And you'll grow together and you'll be the couple that God wants you to be. And in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we are being transformed into His likeness, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Again, the Spirit is present, enabling us to become the people that He would want us to be and do and become involved in. And so we have to give one another room, grace to be who we are, and grace to see God working in our relationship. And then Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And Hebrews 10:36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. So be it. Just another word to those who find themselves in conflict and who find themselves separated or divorced. Is it over for you? No, it is not. God knows that we don't live in a perfect world. And Paul the realist says, as far as it depends on you, if you have done everything that you possibly can do to reconcile that relationship, and that other person is not willing to go even one step in the common direction, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, that's when you have to come to God in prayer and His Word and seek His guidance and direction. But it's never too late for reconciliation if you haven't already divorced. I remember a situation where a woman with two kids came to me. And she said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, what's going on? I'm paraphrasing here. what's going on. She says, my husband is an alcoholic. He's never home on the weekends. He's off in the city. I don't know if I can take it any longer. I says, is he a believer? No, he's not a believer. I says, how long have you been living like this? She says, for years. For years. My heart said, luckily I didn't say it, but my heart said, get out and run. But the Spirit restrained me and I said, you need to discern this before God what you need to do. She did. She went home, she began to pray. That guy came to Christ. He left his life of alcohol behind. And they now have a great marriage, a great relationship. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We, your friends, can't really make that decision for you. Only God can guide and direct you in that direction. And that's where we have to leave it. But let me tell you, there is hope for you. Life is not over. God is a God of new beginnings. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity of sharing this morning. And we know, Father, that life is not perfect, that relationships are not perfect, that marriages are not perfect, but you are a God of hope and reconciliation. And I just pray, Father, that if there are those here this morning who are struggling with that very issue, that you would speak to them clearly, honestly, and openly. And help them to do everything that they can to be in accordance with your will and purpose. And for those of us who have good marriages, we give you thanks and praise for the way that your Spirit has worked in our lives and in the lives of our mates, best friends. And help us never to forget how fortunate we are to be blessed by your Spirit's presence in our life, in all things and in all ways. So guide and direct us. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. Thank you for the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy that are always present with us. And we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.